Hello, in studio with me today is the one and only Jez Lowe.
From a high-rise mountain, old and clear and strong. And its words when you but gray with wisdom wrapped.
From the University of British Columbia, CITR 101.9 FM.
As old as the northern hills in his youth.
The Rogue Folk Club presents Jez Lowe
with a velvet mouth and
October the 19th.
Bow down to the
Jez, how are you doing?
Good. Very nice to be here.
A pleasure indeed. How, when last were you in Vancouver?
Well, I was just trying to think. It's been a while. It's been 2 or 3 years, I think. I've been to Canada since then, but not this far west.
Okay. And touring North America has been something you've done since you began your musical career?
Yeah, certainly down in the United States, right across the country from the 1980s onwards. But I didn't get to Canada till maybe 10 years after that, till the 90s, and I started coming up then.
Okay, you're from Northern England, that's correct?
Yes, yeah? County Durham on the northeast side of England.
Tell me a bit about what life was like there, or how that came to inspire your music.
Well, it's always been a heavily industrial area until recent years, and all, like everywhere else, that's kind of finished now. And alongside the industry, there was always a very strong music thing of all different types. Certainly folk music, which is what I latched onto, but with just, you know, rock music. Lots of famous rock and pop people came from there. And, of course, the brass bands and all that. So just very kind of musical area.
So it was kind of harsh living conditions, I gather, during the industrial era?
Yes, it was coal mines, which was my family background, and steelworks, ironworks, and all stuff like that, yeah.
And I'm sure coal mine safety and so on has improved significantly, or a little bit maybe from then to now, but it was a tough life, yeah.
Yes, it was, yeah. I mean, all the coal mines are closed now up there, you know, and it was quite a... It's one of those things where you don't realise that you're having hard times, or you feel
that's just
it.
Life is what it is.
Yeah,
that's,
you just get on with it, I think. Yeah.
And what role did music play with that? How did that music come into your life, or how did you come to start sharing music in that?
Well, I was always interested in music, as we all were, you know, growing up in that sort of period, 60s, 70s sort of thing. But as I said, folk music was very much part of the just natural life, but then this whole folk club and folk festival culture started there, you know, and it was just easy to latch on to. There was lots of people doing it, and it was the sort of thing, if you wanted to play music, you didn't have to buy lots of big equipment. You could just have a guitar and go along and do your thing.
And do your thing, yeah. Is it, so in that regard, even the music aspect of it, I can imagine, was kind of a bit of a grind.
Yes, it was. I mean, I was lucky in many ways because I started doing this, writing songs in that folk tradition.
Yep.
Kind of modern stuff, modern subject matter in many ways, but very much in the folk tradition. And those songs, people have picked up all over the world, and that's what's carried me through.
Somebody was telling me that now there's actually a university course available in folk music, and that students almost are being, I guess it's producing a new era, a new generation of folk artists. Maybe, interestingly, that they haven't necessarily lived the life themselves. Would you have any comment on that?
Yeah, it's very much established that there's a degree course in folk music in Newcastle, and there's other ones around the UK. There's one in Glasgow, and I think further down in Sheffield there's one as well. But I think the Newcastle one was, where I'm from, was the one that started. And it has produced a new sort of level of new young folk stars, if you like.
Interesting.
But the problem with it there is that, you know, that you can't sustain that, because you can't just keep churning out people who are going to be successful, because it's the same audience.
And I suppose to some degree the very conditions that shaped the reality of the music, can you learn that in school? Is that
it's mainly a more sort of musicology sort of based course, I think. It's quite very much more academic than the approach that I took.
Right.
Mine was more organic, you know. I just
right. Someone told me that you're known to always wear striped shirts.
Oh,
is there anything
now
behind that?
It's very good for radio. That was just a joke, actually. There was a guy in England, a very good folk singer called Peter Bellamy, and he was very strong on image. This
okay
is back in the day, we all used to wear blue jeans,
yep,
and T-shirts. And Peter used to wear like pink suits and silk shirts and stuff. And he said, I needed an image. And the striped shirt was what I was
awesome
left with, sadly.
Right on.
It's a bit embarrassing now.
after the Vancouver show, where are you headed next?
I'm off to Calgary and Edmonton. Gigs there,
okay,
which I've done before, but not for a while. Then across to Ontario, right up until the end of October, and then back to England for 1st of November, and then straight out again with shows over in England right the way through till Christmas.
Okay, and your website is
jezlow.com, jezlow.com.
Perfect. So I'm sure people can find out there where you're going to next and where to get tickets and
great
that sort of thing. What else here? Tell me about the newest album.
The new album is called The Ballad Beyond, and I've been doing songs for the last 10 years for a BBC radio series, an award-winning BBC radio series called The Radio Ballads.
Congratulations,
so,
wow.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of writers involved, you know, but it's been really good for me. And a lot of these songs on the latest album are songs that I've written, not all of them, but a lot of them I've written for that series. And a lot of them I've actually developed further than the series. You know, once you take them out of the context of the radio show, sometimes
yep
they fall apart.
Yep, yep, yep.
But I've kept, I think I've done about 70 songs all in all over the last
wow
10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been great.
Let's take a listen to one of the tracks from the new album. What's the name of this one?
This is called The Lazarus Dance.
The phoenix flying overhead, practice all the sky in another day. And music tricked the sick and lame to get up and out of bed. And Lazarus up and answered as the band began to play. That band was manned by Django and the whole damn time the crew. Said Duke Arch in his brows across the keys. I stretched me neck to check him out. On drums was Chris McCool, and Lazarus up and danced and fell like Elvis to his knees. Lazarus called, who's up for dancing? I want yous all to get up on your feet. And Lazarus called, what's better than dreaming? You never know who a fella could be. And George and John was mortal, doing love songs in the wings. And Judy, Jimmy and Jesus fell at suits. And Marilyn walked past his arm in arm with Dr. King. And Lazarus up and danced and raised his fist in bold salute. And Lazarus called, for dancing, I want yous all to get up on your feet. And Lazarus called, what's better than dreaming? You never know who the fun could be. My dad was born in Pines for 51. Me mother kept in the rose in summer bloom. Me father ground her like he did before I came along. And Lazarus up and danced and shouted, Johnny, get a room. And Lazarus called, who's up for dancing? I want yous all to get up on your feet. And Lazarus called, night was the holy ground once more. Mandela and Peter Bellamy stood to harmonize upon, and Lazarus of Nansen was the last man on the floor. And Lazarus called, who's up for dancing? I wanted you all to get up on your feet. And Lazarus called, what's better than dreaming? You never know who a fella could meet. And Lazarus called, who's up for dancing? I wanted you all to get up on your feet. And Lazarus called, what's better than dreaming? You never know who a fella could meet.
You're listening to the Lazarus Dance. Did I say that correctly?
Lazarus Dance.
Lazarus
yeah.
Dance. With me in studio, Mr. Jez Lowe, all the way from. You just came in from Australia.
That's right, correct. Yeah, about 4 hours ago. Yeah.
Originally from Northern England.
Yep.
Do you still live in Northern England?
Sure, yeah.
Jez, when you write music, how do you have any specific approach to doing that? Do you kind of write for yourself? Do you write for other people, or are you just kind of taken by the moment? How does that process work?
It's developed into I'm doing quite a lot of writing for all different projects, as well as writing for myself as I've always done.
Yep.
And I tend to sort of be doing it all the time. You know, like at the moment, I'm just writing some stuff for a theatre production that's going to start. And then there's stuff for my own thing, you know. So I've really... the writing process is something I enjoy a great deal, as much as I do enjoy the actual playing.
Would you, like, hold a guitar with you when you're writing? Or is it
more a
mental thing, or with the piano? Or?
It's... on the contrary, in fact, the words, obviously, you know, come wherever I can. But melodically, I just tend to come up with things away from an instrument. So I call it kind of singing to the air. It's just like you sing with no instrument there, and then you apply the instrument to the melody that you've come up with. And inevitably you get chord shapes and stuff.
Like poetry almost, would you say?
Yeah, like melodic poetry almost, And then you can apply the music to it and get a different slant on things.
Amazing. How often do you feel inspired and come up with?
Well, it's an ongoing process, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I just I'm always in that frame of mind that I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
So and it's, you know, as I say, I really kind of enjoy the challenge of it. I'm not saying that I'm great at it and I find it easy. Yep. I don't, you know, but it's just I enjoy the.
Does has politics come into the music ever? Or?
Certainly. Well, it was politics that got me into the writing, because prior to that, I was just doing covers. I was doing old folk songs, old timey traditional stuff, and other people's songs. And but it was in the Margaret Thatcher era in England in the early 80s that got me writing.
And what was the politics of the day back then?
Well, it was the beginning of the closing of the coal mines and the running down of industry, and just generally this sort of. Quite right-wing, very right-wing for the time, attitude of the Conservative government gave you something to kick against, you know, which is all the best songs in folk music have been written when you've had something to kick against, you know, and that's certainly what she provided.
Any similarities to what's going on in the States with the closing of their coal mines right now?
Yeah, it's the same. I think that's why my songs have travelled so far, because wherever you are, whether it's, you know, in the United States or Canada or certainly down in Australia, you know, first time I went to Australia 20 years ago, the songs were there before me.
Yep.
They didn't know who I was, but they knew my songs.
And it still resonates. We're speaking before we came in here. I came to know of your music through kind of youth camp, tall ship sort of things.
Nothing to do with me.
I didn't know anything about coal mines or anything, there's still a connection with... And the interesting thing I find with that you're able to do with your music is these heavy, darker subjects, there's still sort of a pleasant tone that the music
Yeah.
Brings to the, is that a conscious thing or?
It's, well, kind of. It's also a natural thing. I think the folk music from my part of the world has that element to it. That there's almost like a comedy, a comic anyway, element when times are really hard. That's inevitably what happens. It brings out the sort of, the comic sort of buffoonery.
And there's, yeah, very positive.
Yeah.
With that.
It's better than just preaching in soapboxing.
right.
I wouldn't like to
listen to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What are some of the larger shows or festivals that you've done memorable recently?
Here in Canada, I've done Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver. That's 20 years ago I did. But stuff in the UK, I've done big... I did a big thing in London for this guy called Richard Thompson. And Richard was curating a week-long festival down at the Queen Elizabeth Hall down in London. And he got me to, as part of the political songs concerts, alongside Loudon Wainwright and the Watersons and Martin Carthy, luminaries of their ilk.
What's it like playing on that kind of stage?
Well, I mean,
you've done it enough times now. I'm sure it's not as intimidating as it once were, but
no, it's still intimidating. The thing is, you've got to, when you're in a big sort of concert arena like Vancouver Festival or Edmonton or anything, you've got to make it yourself big. And it's quite a task, and I don't do it often enough to be relaxed to do it. You know, it's a real special occasion for me when I do it. So I really have to build myself
so
up.
So you have to prepare, you have to get the energy.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Do you talk on stage a lot is to convey the music, I guess?
Or? I do, yes. In a club situation, I do a lot. That's part of the act, which, again, is very much a folk thing, tradition from where I come from. And the bigger gigs, I try to restrict it, you know, just to keep it sort of moving, you know.
Yep. The, are there, I guess, some of the folk clubs are closing, I guess, around the world. Is the scene changing much that way?
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky again. I've got more work than I've ever had, but it's not in the little folk clubs, sort of small venues, so much as there's a big thing for like local village hall, rural touring, they call it in the
UK. Right.
So we do a lot of that now, and festivals are really big. You know, they, as a performer, I find them quite arduous, really. They're very hard to sustain energy for that, but that's the way it's gone.
Yep. This song that's playing in the background here, The Guilt.
Me heart's as hard can be. Well, I just don't care.
What was this song about?
This was about a friend of mine who I was at school with, who I met again, and the time was when we were both kind of lefty. We were both into folk music, but where I'd continued it and gone into that. He was never a musician. He was just he'd gone into industry, and he was a very rich man, and he said he didn't care anymore about the poor and oppressed, and he didn't feel guilty when he passed homeless people. Because he was, you know, he said this is the age of the self-made man, as I think is what they've just said.
Yeah.
So we're not friends anymore.
But times were changing, and I'd soon had enough of that old Joe Hill and all the left-wing stuff. So while you sat around blowing band harmonica, well, I make money as a right-wing scavenger. Close me eyes to the poor and depressed. If I couldn't make profit, I couldn't care less.
Take you to a track now off of the new album, the Ballad Beyond, Jeslo. This is the Pittman Poets.
That's right.
We sing our bands to sleep with songs that workers make. Thrill them with black dust bogeymen when day is done. But these ghosts and mighty giants are no fairy tales. But men that walked amongst us once, but now they're gone. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. They jowl old and listened as they're hacked and paid. A lifetime lit by lamplight, not by sky or sun. And through the ground beneath our feet they chewed and licked. Some were swallowed with a mighty swipe of the earth's own tongue. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. And the women watched and waited, ever strong and bold, and laughed and loved despite those many mouths to feed. And damn the fat cat masters and the lies they told, as they sacrificed good men to the gods of gain and greed. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so.
FM, CITR.ca. You're listening to the Saturday Edge. Live in studio with me is Jez Lowe, playing October the 19th for the Rogue Folk Festival in Kitsilano, right?
Machines grew cold and still. Unions lay broken by deceit and lies. Sad eyes were left to stare down from a pit-booed hill. But the glory of the lives they led will never die. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so. These things I know, for the Pittman poets told me so.
Streaming around the world at CITR.ca. This is CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory. Saturday Edge, live in studio, Mr. Jez Lowe, listening to the Pittman Poets off of his new album, The Ballad Beyond.
It was a band that I'm in, actually. We do, there's four of us, we're four individual soloists. We get together as the Pittman Poets doing the old songs of the coal mines, you know. And it wasn't a band we formed ourselves. We were invited to join,
okay,
to put the thing together as a sort of a show, really. And I just came up with that song as a sort of a theme thing for the to close the show and for us all to sing. And then I did it on the
album. Perfect. One of the songs I remember you did, Had a Wagon On, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that your song? What was that about?
That was actually when I first went to Australia. I'm just back from Australia, but when I first went there, I met a guy who complained about my accent. He was an Australian, but he said I didn't have a strong enough North of England accent.
Okay, yeah.
Because I inevitably smoothed my accent out because it's quite strong normally. Not as strong as some people.
Yeah, from, yeah, yeah.
And inevitably, you know, people who can't understand it. So that's how that song, it was very much a light-hearted song. It was almost like episodic, my adventures in my first week in Australia.
Wow, yeah, that's one that stuck with me. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
With me, also in studio, local folk artist, Mr. Tim Redman. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'll just shuffle the
No problem. What's going on in the Vancouver folk music scene right now, Tim?
Well, the Rogue Folk Club, of course, is still alive and well, where Jez is going to be playing, and lots of good shows there. And Vancouver Folk Festival finally got licensed, so, you know, that made it possible for them to stay alive and for people to have a pint.
Great news.
So that's a good thing, and they've been bringing some great people into town.
When does the Vancouver Folk Festival take place for people?
It's mid-July.
Okay.
So it's in Jericho Park, and it's one of the most beautiful settings you could imagine. and great mix of people. There's lots of bands that the young folks will get into, as well as some senior members of the folk scene. So, you know, this year we had Martin Carthier and his daughter Liza, which was great, but we also had, you know, a whole bunch of bands with drums and things like that.
Okay.
So it was a bit modern, but it was good.
How could people just go down to the festival, or do you need tickets? How does that work?
You buy tickets, and you can buy a full weekend pass, or you can get a pass just for an evening or a day. But for people like you students out there who don't have any money, you can volunteer.
Okay.
And you do a couple of shifts, and then you get to see all the music.
Brilliant.
It's a pretty good deal.
Brilliant, yeah. And you're performing there yourself this year?
Not this year, no. I have done in the past. I've done a few different things for the Folk Festival over the years, yeah.
Okay. You were telling me you have a new album that you've just released that's not folk.
It's not folk music. And people keep going, I can't play this on my show, they go. Because I've always liked folk music, and I've got into it as a teenager mainly because it was an opportunity to play in front of people. But I've also played in lots and lots of different kinds of bands over the years, and I just decided it was time to play something where the guitars can get really loud and nobody complains.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So I just did an album of original songs called Go Blue.
Okay, is that available online? Where can people...
I've got a copy for you in my bag. I can tell you hints.
SpongeBob, you're wasting me precious carbon dioxide. I'm pumping it into the atmosphere, boy.
Thanks to global warming, the temperature will soon go through the roof, and then we'll have an endless summer.
Why do you want an endless summer, Mr. Krabs?
So I can open me latest money-making venture, the Krusty Pool.
The endless summer does sound fun.
And profitable.
Fun and profitable. Big business does it again.
Unfortunately, for those of us who aren't talking sponges, climate change isn't quite as fun. Luckily, there are many easy ways for students to conserve energy.
If chargers for cell phones, cameras, and laptops are left plugged in, they continue to draw electricity even when not connected to the device. This phantom load can be avoided by unplugging electronics and chargers after use. A more convenient option is to hook electronics up to a power bar, which can be switched off after use.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the